Father, we pray that you would speak to us now of Jesus, your Son, in the power of your Spirit. Amen. Good morning. As Marion said, I am the Karen Burnett Hall. Earlier this year, I joined the Erudite Company of the Retired. And before that, I served in a group of parishes north of Downham Market. Now in retirement, it's my great privilege to serve wherever needed. I've been helping a bit at Stuntney. I help here too, will help here too when the need arises. Well, depending on which way you look at it, this Sunday is the fourth Sunday before Advent, or it's All Saints. In times past, of course, All Saints Day with its special services was celebrated on November the 1st, no matter what day of the week it fell on. But life is different now. And so for a number of years in parish churches, All Saints has been celebrated on the first Sunday in November. And the readings that we've just heard are those that were appointed for All Saints Day. But that word saint is not really very widely understood anymore, is it? If somebody says she's a saint, they usually mean she's got a lot to put up with at home. If you look in the dictionary, that's not necessarily a great deal of help either. It says holy, canonized or officially recognized by the church as having won by exceptional holiness a high place in heaven and veneration on earth. Does the Oxford Dictionary know something we don't know? A high place in heaven? But then in the dictionary there follows a great long list which includes St. Ledger, a horse race at Doncaster for three-year-olds, and it ends up with one of the blessed dead or other member of the companies of heaven. And you'd have to look in a Bible dictionary, I think, to be reminded that in the early church, saint, with a small s, was the common word applied to all Christian believers. A number of years ago, I worked out an acrostic for the word saint for school assembly for November the 1st. I shan't inflict the whole lot on you, but you can ask me what the other letters were for afterwards if you want. It began with S for special people and ended with T for today. Usually I was doing the assembly on the 1st of November. Today, a reminder that the special people who are in touch with God are saints with a small s too. And that actually includes all of us. All of us are special to God. When St. John wrote what we call his first letter, he urged his readers to recognize the fact that we have the wonderful truth that God loves us as a father, but more than that, that he is our father. We've been adopted into his family because we've responded to his love. Being part of his family means that we live seeking to follow the example of Jesus so that we will develop the family likeness. John expresses it as keeping ourselves pure, just as Christ is pure. Jesus, sitting on a mountainside, used that word too. Blessed or happy, some translations say. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. John, of course, St. John would have been sitting on the ground close to Jesus as he spoke those words, along with those other disciples, a strange, ill-assorted bunch in many ways, two sets of brothers, fishermen by trade, but very different by temperament. Philip, the quiet one, Bartholomew, the skeptic, Thomas, the doubter, James, Simon, and Judas, and the other Judas, the one in charge of the cash. Quite an ambitious sort of chap, really. 12 very different people, some thinkers, some doers, some lively, some quiet, some cautious, some more impetuous. None of them really you would have classed as the sort of people who would set the world on fire. In many ways, that bunch of disciples, very like any bunch of folk who gather in a building called a church to worship God. Like the disciples, any group of believers have one thing in common. They're attracted to a wandering preacher called Jesus, who had a very strange recipe for happiness. A recipe he spelt out on the hillside one sunny morning. Now, yes, happiness, happy, blessed. Dear me, don't say my voice is going to let me down. Different translations put it in different ways. Happiness, blessing, contentment, joy. Different translations have sought to try and capture. Thank you, Janet. Different translations of the Bible have sought to capture what Jesus meant. But this morning I'll stick to happy, but if you want, you can hear blessed as I say happy. Jesus said, "Happy are those who know that they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them." And something inside us says, hang on, wouldn't it be better to be spiritually rich? But perhaps what Jesus was getting at by poor was knowing that we're in need of help. Because really, it's only when we recognize that we need help that we will be open to receiving it. All those who called to Jesus for help, who admitted their need, received help. Jesus gave them a new start in life, whether it concerned their relationships, their health, their fear, or their failures. Most of all, he gave them a relationship with God that they had never imagined was possible. He gave them himself, and they became happy not because of what happened to them, but because of what happened in them. And it didn't just happen once, it went on happening. As long as they and we recognize that we are spiritually poor, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus' presence with us, will be ours. Jesus said, "Happy are those who mourn." In the context, that refers more to those who recognize that they get things wrong, who feel desperately sorry for something that they've done, and realize that they've lost something good. That's the mourning that Jesus was talking about here, those times when we wish that we could have a few moments over again, another chance. Then Jesus draws near to comfort, in that sense of strengthen, to comfort us with the assurance of forgiveness and a new start. And that is happiness indeed. Jesus said, "Happy are the humble." But that's not a popular word in today, is it? I wonder what the opposite would be. Unhappy are the self-sufficient wealthy. That turns 21st century thinking upside down, doesn't it? We're supposed to admire the self-made man. He's supposed to be the one who's happy. But Jesus knows that when we think we can manage our own lives, we get inflated ideas of our own importance. We talk about rights and insist on them, but then we see others who have more and become discontented. A couple of disciples once started an argument about who would be the greatest. And Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be the first in the first place must put himself last and be the servant of all." With humble service comes the assurance that God keeps his promise. Happy are the humble. They will receive what God has promised. Jesus said, "Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires." What does God require, though? Hundreds of years before Jesus, the prophet Micah wrote, "What does the Lord require of us? But to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with God." Showing constant love isn't easy. We don't always see other people as important and lovable. In other words, we fail to see them as God sees them. Two friends were talking, and one was annoyed because a different person, a third person, had let her down. "You've got to make allowances for people," the friend told her. "How much allowance do you expect me to make?" muttered the other one rather crossly. "As much as Jesus makes for you," came the quiet reply. End of conversation. "Happy are the merciful," said Jesus. "God will be merciful to them." "Happy are the pure in heart," those who keep their eyes on Jesus and let his way of seeing, thinking, acting pervade their whole being. If we keep on our eyes on Jesus, we will see God. "Happy are those who work for peace." It's so easy just to think of those who work as peace envoys with the United Nations, or those who join in protests against wars. But perhaps the peacemakers Jesus meant were the ordinary folk who bring peace into everyday situations, who take the heat out of the argument, or help each side to see the other's point of view. Peacemakers like that are sometimes misunderstood and occasionally get thumped by one party or both. But sometimes we need to stand for peace, even if it means being ignored or laughed at or persecuted. Peacemakers will be called God's children, and those who are persecuted for doing what God requires will possess the kingdom of heaven. That isn't a promise of something beyond death, but rather the reassurance that they will have a deep awareness of the presence of God with them here and now in all that they do. From the point of view of secular Western society, the Beatitudes are, let's face it, a very stupid recipe for happiness. But for 2,000 years, people who have felt that life was incomplete have turned to Jesus and found wholeness. They have found not so much that Jesus has the answer, but that Jesus is the answer. And in trusting him, they have embraced life to the full. And once a year on All Saints' Day, November the 1st or the Sunday after it, the church remembers all those people. They may not be known to us, like St. Peter or St. Mary or St. John, but really they're no different from them. And one day, we will be numbered with them. As long as our response to that phrase, "This is the gospel of the Lord," is not simply "Praise to you, O Christ." but also a promise from within our hearts. This is the gospel of the Lord, and with your help, Lord, I'll live it out day by day. Amen.